Hello, Danny.
Guys.
Thanks for your time this morning, mate. Obviously, big news in the NRL.
Look, it's massive. It's been, the dogs have been barking, for want of a better term, but it's finally happened and it's going to be messy.
Yeah, it is messy, and quite clearly they would have got legal advice, the Bulldogs, and no doubt Desi's a bloke who dots the I's and crosses the T's, Danny, as you know. He would have legal advice, and this will probably be decided by lawyers.
Yeah, look, I think that both Des Hasler and the Bulldogs will want to avoid going legal, but I don't know how they're going to do that. My information is that there'll be meetings with lawyers today, at least from Hasler's side. So I think that, you know, they're preparing for the worst.
Yeah.
They are, Des Hasler and his manager, George Mimas, are adamant that the heads of agreement will stand, which is the deal they have. And in that is a payout that was always going to be there for around $1 million. So, and that was if there was a move on the coach before February. So this is where it's going to get really nasty when you start bringing money like that into play.
Yeah.
The Dogs aren't going to want to pay out anything to do with that. But Des is going to want that.
Yeah. Quite clearly, I guess. Who have you got as the favourite, mate? We're running a poll at the moment on the website. Actually, Michael Maguire, a fraction in front of Dean Pay, and then Jimmy Dimmick third and Jason Taylor fourth.
Yeah, look, I think that you know, your listeners have got it pretty right. I think that Maguire is definitely heavily in the mix. Potentially, you know, you may see a team of Pay and Dimmick. I mean, if you want to bring back that old Bulldog feeling to the Bulldogs, they would be serious contenders. I mean, I've heard all sorts of names for this position. I know that there is a rogue faction at the Bulldogs who are determined to see Trent Barrett somehow get out of his Manly deal and end up there. And also, there's even the name of Paul Green being whispered. You know, things could happen quickly, but I mean, it's an important decision for the Dogs, and Maguire's name has been bubbling forth in recent days.
It's interesting, mate. We'll watch this space. We spoke to Aaron Woods. He's obviously quite neutral in his comments, but I wonder how much Des being there was an influence. I'm sure part of his decision would have been about that. But Kieran Foran, mate, what do you feel is going to happen there?
Well, look, that's a really interesting one. I mean, like, I've been talking to the Dogs about that, given this was likely to happen, and they are firmly of the belief that Kieran Foran has a binding contract with the club, and there is no Des clause in there, but there is also no question that Kieran Foran put his eggs in the Des basket. He, you know, he saw and has always seen Des Hasler as something of a father figure, someone he trusts, someone he can confide in, and there is no doubt that the Hasler influence got him to the Dogs. Although, you know, there is a nice fat contract there for him as well, which is also incentive.
Isn't it funny, Danny, how, you know, the Bulldogs maintain there's a binding contract with Kieran,
yes.
but there's no binding contract with Des.
Well, I find this remarkable. I mean, like, we were told back in April by the club that he'd done a two-year deal.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get out of this now. I mean, like, it's been stated publicly so many times. But, I mean, look, Ray Dibbs, obviously a smart man. He obviously has good legal advice. They wouldn't be taking this on if they didn't think they'd have a chance. But on the other hand, I don't know many better managers than George Mimas, and I think that he would have also been very sure of the heads of agreement was going to be a binding contract. I'd also like to know, when Des came over from Manly to go to the Bulldogs, whether there was a contract there or whether, you know, he came in good faith with the heads of agreement. Mm. I'd find that fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. Well, every court case that goes on today, there's lawyers telling their clients on either side of that aisleway, don't worry, we've got a good case.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's what they're both being told.
Yeah.
Danny, can I just ask you, we've been talking a lot about, hearing again about the Canterbury culture, and obviously they're yesteryear players, there's a supporter group that come from that era to now. do you believe in that? Is the Dogs different to other clubs in that respect?
Look, I don't even know what the Canterbury culture is anymore.
No, well, that was my point. It confuses me now.
And I don't... Look, I get it. I get the old school, you know, from the family club. But, I mean, if they want the family club as their motto and their culture, are they treating Des Hazler like family? I don't know, you know. Is this a good example? I don't know.
Yeah.
As a coach, would you feel confident walking into that environment now?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. You would think no, wouldn't you? I mean, like, you'd be quite concerned.
Rookie coaches are getting a big leap currently. Do you see them going with a rookie coach? I mean, some of these rookie coaches we talk about, Anthony Seibold's an example there, Danny, who's got the gig now at Souths. You know, 11 years for Anthony on the sidelines as in the coaching ranks as assistants. We've got Dean Payot, quite very, very experienced, you know, and 13 years for Jimmy Dimmick, you know, on the sidelines as well. So they've got some yards.
They don't feel like rookies.
No, they don't. No,
it's not like when Phil Gould took over at the Bulldogs,
yep.
You know, or even a Trent Robinson to a lesser degree, or a Nathan Brown. You know, it doesn't feel quite like that because they've been in systems for a long time. They know how things work, and
yeah.
You know, Dean Pay's been an assistant. Jimmy Dimmick's been an assistant forever. So you know, I don't think that you can. I don't think the rookie element's that big a deal. I think that. The biggest change they'd have to do maybe would be the glare of the spotlight. That'd be the pressure coming from that, from dealing with yourselves and other media. You know, like that, that would be the big change. But I don't know about actual coaching being as big a change. And I guess they'd be under the microscope more.
All right, Danny, we might as well get your tips for the weekend, mate. Storm Broncos.
Oh, geez, I think Storm.
Yeah.
Storm are the best club team I've seen for years.
Yeah.
They are just remarkable.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take a hell of a performance to beat them this week or next week.
Matt Scott may be to play for the Cowboys up against the Roosters, who are very, very short.
Yeah, look, Matt Scott, I think if the Cowboys get through, he's more likely to play the following week.
Yeah.
I think if the Roosters can put together even 40 of their best minutes, they win.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good on you, Danny. We look forward to the machinations of the Bulldog saga unfolding on Nine News with yourself and Neil Breen tonight.
Thank you very much.